This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Now that the thaw is underway, perhaps Metro Atlanta and the state can sit back and think a little bit about how we got to the traffic nightmare that ensued after the snow started falling. Rebecca Burns of Atlanta Magazine, where she is a deputy editor, has written an article in Politico which puts some of the pieces together. And these are pieces that don't just start on Tuesday. They go back a long way in the city's history, and she argues came together to produce this problem and a longer-range problem for the region. Rebecca Burns, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
You talk about four key points that are part of Atlanta's recent history, if you talk about recent going back some decades. Atlanta is a city surrounded by a region where a lot of people live who then come into the city and commute. Second, our car-dependent history and really lack of a manageable transit system that serves the whole region. And finally, more recently, the defeat of the transportation local option sales tax, often called T-SPLOST. But there are other cities, aren't there, that have histories similar to this? So is Atlanta unique in any way here, in a way that produced what happened on Tuesday?
Well, Atlanta is unique in that although there are other cities with these kinds of history, Atlanta uniquely has this combination of sprawl, where one of, if not the lowest, one of the lowest density population metro areas in the country. We're the ninth largest metro area in the country, so there are a lot more people here to get into these kinds of traffic jams. And we just have this history of balkanization that goes back over decades. So as we see, communication among the various jurisdictions wasn't very clear. I'm not saying this couldn't happen in Houston or another kind of sprawling Sun Belt city, but I think for Atlanta it is, if you pardon the expression, kind of the perfect storm scenario.
You mentioned the T-SPLOST also, and it certainly could be argued, okay, the T-SPLOST is part of a long-range approach, and if it was rejected, those who supported it said we missed a chance. But the T-SPLOST being a long-range approach certainly wouldn't have done anything to prevent what happened on Tuesday, though, would it?
No, but that part of the point of the story and the assignment that Politico had asked me to tackle was explaining for the national audience who was watching us and finding it comical that we were not able to handle 2 inches of snow and kind of putting that context in there. So just talking about not only do we have a history of rejecting transit solutions and kind of a regional approach to this, that in very recent times we've kind of exerted that same thing. So back in the 60s and 70s, we rejected MARTA expansion across suburban counties. We're very driven on highway construction. And then back in 2012, the same thing in a different version, but a kind of a repeat of that shows up.
Another problem going back into history for transit now is that back at the time, let's say MARTA was being put together and in its early years, there was a lot more federal money available to put regional transit together. That's not the case now.
That you're absolutely right about that, but there's less federal money for all kinds of infrastructure and support. So I don't think that's a very fair argument. I mean, it's a valid point, but we can't just like use that as an excuse not to invest.
But then where will the money come from?
Well, the money has to come from us taxing ourselves and coming up with that, which we may not want to do, but I don't think we want to be in a situation where we're paralyzed by gridlock. The thing for me that was really alarming is you had this entire region paralyzed by 2 inches of snow, but what if this had been an even more serious event that happened and again we had a million people trying to get on the highway at the same time? It could have been much worse.
We had that kind of self-examination after 9/11. I remember doing stories about it, going down to places in South Georgia where there are evacuation routes for hurricanes and so forth. But it seems as if, as you mentioned before, we've forgotten that.
Yeah, I mean, so part of what we need to do is kind of draw on this experience and keep it in our memory. And I'm hoping that people who run for office in the future and people who make policy decisions and those of us who go to the polls remember this. And it's hard to make people remember. As you said, you would think we would remember post 9/11 how we felt. But one thing that is in Atlanta's DNA as well is we're a very self-conscious metro area. We care a lot about what the other parts of the country say of us or think about us. So there will be some kind of reaction in that way.
Rebecca Burns is deputy editor of Atlanta Magazine, author of three books on Atlanta history, and her article is in Politico Magazine. Rebecca Burns, thanks very much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and I'll talk to you soon.